From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
These words from the Last Supper, which Jesus spoke in prophecy about the Holy Spirit that will come, it's important for us on this vigil of the Ascension and the beginning of that decennarium to the Holy Spirit that allows us to make room for the real action that God wants to complete in us by the Holy Spirit's work. Today, Jesus is describing about the progressive revelation that God gives us, that he can't give us everything all at once because we just can't handle it. There's a reason why kindergartners are not taught calculus, because they can't handle it yet. And in the same way, God needs to work with us in stages. Jesus was coming to do his work, and he did so much. But in order to appreciate the seeds that he had planted and allow them to grow, as well as to recognize that there are other seeds that God himself would want to plant, but that our soil wasn't ready for yet, God sends the Holy Spirit to complete that work. And so it's key as we approach this upcoming period of prayer to the Holy Spirit that we open ourselves up to how the Holy Spirit wants to continue to guide us more and more deeply into the truth, that we're cooperating with it, and that we recognize that we don't know all that he wants us to know yet. And he's going to continue to guide us step by step. He's going to take from what is God the Father's given to the Son and give it to us. We were pondering last week, just as the Father loves Jesus, and he gave himself totally over to Jesus, everything besides who he is his Father. So Jesus loves us, and he wants to give everything he is to us. But in our finitude, we can't absorb that infinity, which is why God needs to go little by little, until that time where he'll be all in all in heaven. This progressive walk in the truth can be illumined for us by St. Paul's visit to the Areopagus in today's first reading and the response that we see to that progressive revelation. We're much better off than the Greeks there on Mars Hill were by the time St. Paul came. We've been advanced far more by the Lord than they were. So were the Jews. But we recognize that some were willing to continue to be led by the Lord and others were resistant. So what's the scene? The Areopagus was the judge court, frankly, not just a philosopher's club, but the place where the wisest members in Athens, which was the real city of learning in the ancient world, where they would all assemble in order to hear the cases and give their pronouncement. And so St. Paul was walking through Athens and seeing all of these statues talking and creating controversy. So they said, we're going to bring you to the Areopagus. And so he did. And it's there that he led the case. And Paul wanted to start with what they already knew. You Athenians, I see that in every respect you're very religious. It was said at this time that half of all the statues of gods in Greece were in Athens. Everywhere you turned, there was some representation of the divine. They were very religious. So I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, though. I discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. You know, Socrates said that real wisdom is knowing that you know that you don't know what you don't know. There was a real wisdom in recognizing that they still had much more to learn. That there was a God who should be worshipped that wasn't being worshipped. And they opened themselves up to it with wisdom. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I'm going to proclaim to you. And then what does he describe? First thing is that God is not something that we make, but that God is the maker. The God who made the world and all that's in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. He's the one who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. We ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art and imagination. He's not. He's the one who's in fact formed us. And so St. Paul is trying to open to God's action rather than our religious action in response to a desire for God. He's opening toward grace. That's what he's doing. Second, he wants to open them to the way God wants to invade their life in order to be able to save them from within. There's this desire to seek God, but St. Paul is trying to open them up to the way that God seeks to live with them. So talking about God, he made the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth. Fixed in order the seasons and the boundaries and the regions. All of this, his fingerprints, his footprints. So that through creation, you would be able to come to the Creator. So that when you'd see the stream at the bottom of the mountain, you would be able to follow the stream up to its cap, to its source, with a capital letter. All of this so that people might seek God, even perhaps groping for him in the darkness, and find him, for he's indeed not far from any one of us. So the desire for God, the search for God, is itself a gift given by God to grow. Four, this is one of the highlights here. In him we live and move and have our being. That God isn't something that we just pay homage to and burn a little sacrifice in front of. But that the type of relationship that God is asking of us is that we live in God. We act in God. We move. We change in God. We have our being in God. Our life is a life for and in God, is what he's saying. All of this searching, this whole knowledge of an unknown God, God is leading us progressively to a communion with him in life, in action, in being. God's overlooked the times of ignorance. No matter where we're starting from, God's going to approach it mercifully, he says. But now he demands that all people everywhere act. It's a particular type of action that he's demanding. That all people everywhere turn their lives around. Metanoiete, a revolution in their worldview. And that leads to repentance. because he's established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he's appointed, and he's provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead. So he's giving a little bit of the kerygma there, but saying that this isn't a subject to be investigated. This is the most consequential move they'll ever make, and that God has prepared them to make this choice on how they're going to live, on how they're going to move and act, on where they're really going to derive their being. So he sets it up. Rhetorically, it's the most powerful homily he's ever given. What happened? There were three responses to it. First response, people mocked. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff. We would see that many would likewise mock at Jesus when he was preaching. Second reaction, procrastination. Others said, we should like to hear this from you on another occasion, at another time. It's one of the most common responses. I'll put it off till tomorrow. I won't decide on it now, as if there's something more important to be doing today. As if God hasn't given us enough information in order to be able to make the decision now. We still may have stuff to learn, we may have to ponder it, but what's the decision that's being asked now? But then some did join and became believers, and their names are recorded for us. One was one of the 30 wisest of the Greeks in Athens, an Areopagite, Dionysius, Dionysius in the Greek, who was named after the pagan god of drinking, but who himself was going to open up to receive this inward draft of the living water. Seeing these three responses, we can now begin to say, okay, what is the Holy Spirit going to be asking of us? Holy Spirit wants to make us a great saint. Holy Spirit wants to make us a ball of fire to ignite the whole world. Are we going to inwardly scoff at that? Most of us won't scoff at the power of God to do it, but we might scoff of the fact that he can't use us in that way. He cannot use me. That he must be talking about some of the saints that we read in Butler's, but he can't be talking about me. No, he doesn't want that scoffing. He doesn't want that mockery. Because in a sense, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Limiting his power. Stifling the Spirit. Quenching its action. Second is we can delay. You know, when I'm the age of Mother Agnes, when I'm older, if I make 80 like Cardinal O'Connor did, that's when God will bring this work to perfection. No, God, even though he's continually leading us, even though we've got so much more to learn than we've already learned, he's given us way more than enough to be able to make the choice. And he wants it hink and nunc. Ultimately, what he's looking is for us to join him and become believers. To reroot ourselves by the Holy Spirit's power so that truly in God we will live. It's the whole purpose of the Easter season. To live Jesus' risen life. Move, that we feel ourselves in a particular docility to the way the Holy Spirit wants to move us. Move us inwardly. Move us toward others. Move us ultimately toward heaven. And have our being. It's not just our doing, but it's our being. That we receive that as a gift from God. And that part of our being is opening ourselves up to the way that God wants to give us his entire being, with the Holy Spirit's giving us what he's received from the Son, and the Son giving us what he's received from the Father. That our being is totally changed as a Christian. That we've sought this, but God likewise wants to remake us. we prepare for this decenarium, what is our receptivity to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do? And will we give him ultimately permission? Our responsorial psalm today was, "Heaven and earth are full of your glory." But what the Holy Spirit wants us to get ready for is he wants your soul to be full of that same glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.